Good morning. It is great to see everyone. It's nice to be back with you on a Sunday. It was nice to be home Wednesday, but it is good to be home. I'll tell you thank you for a few things. Thank you for your prayers for Adam. He is doing better, getting some strength back. He's still got a road ahead of him. He's got 5 weeks of going to see the doctor every day. They fill up a little ball with medicine, and he has a PICC line that it delivers that medication to him throughout the day, but it keeps him from having to be in the hospital for the next 5 weeks. But he is better, and so thank you for your prayers on his behalf. Thank you for yesterday. I told these guys it's incredible. We love our kids, right? We want the best for them. You're the best for my kids, and I can't thank you enough. We appreciate you more than I could ever even begin to try to tell you how much we appreciate you. All that you do and the love that you bestow is, I know that we talk about blessings and how much of a blessing it is to be a part of the body of Christ, and amen, it is. But not everybody gets to have this place. And this place is indescribable. You are incredible. We love you, and we can't appreciate you enough. I wish I could tell you more, but I can't, because I'm going to start to blubber in a second, and that's probably not going to be the best thing. But we love you, and we can't thank you enough for everything that you do for us at all times. But there are just those days like yesterday when we get to see it, and it's incredible. So thank you very much. I would invite you this morning to open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. We do have one birthday we get to celebrate this week. Miss Dorotha is going to celebrate a birthday tomorrow. So Max, don't forget, make sure that you spoil her tomorrow for her birthday. As you turn to Revelation 1, I'll remind you, it's been a couple weeks. Now, I did preach last Sunday morning in Branson because Adam was supposed to, and so I took his place last Sunday morning. I did a very inadequate job compared to what he would do, but I did my best to fill in for him. But I would like you to recall, we've been looking, we started with Psalm 1, blessed, happy. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, those God mockers. Instead, but he meditates on the word of the Lord. That's where he spends his time. That's what he does. We've talked about that even this morning in our Bible class, that that's the responsibility we have, and we meditate on it, meaning that we take it in, and then we bring it back up, and we continue to think on those things, and we meditate on the Word of God. Here in Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place, and he sent, signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God, to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now, we think about this. This is not, again, a new concept. This is something that we are to do at all times. Look at me at Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are, again, verses that we have read and studied and gone over before, but I would invite you to look at these yet again, because here's the responsibility that you and I have. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is Old Testament, right? And so this has been God's expectation at all times, not just for the book of Revelation, and certainly not just for that one letter. Instead, this is God's expectation for all of His Word, that we are to do it. Here in Deuteronomy 6, go down to verse number 3. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. So you hear it, be careful to observe it, that it's going to be well with you. So not only are you listening, but just as we talked about this morning, you're going to put it into practice. If you read on through Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I would encourage you to, he's going to tell them you're going to have to teach this at all times. You teach it to your kids, you teach it to those around you. When you go to bed, when you get up, when you walk by the way, when you sit in your house, at all times, throughout the day. This is what your life is to look like. This is what that observation is. Not that I just heard something or happened to see something. I put this into practice and I actually do it. That's the expectation that God has. And we think about that blessed person. Look with me at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. The context here is that you have John, who has John the Baptist or John the Baptizer, who has been placed in prison, and John, because he has told Herod that he cannot marry or have his brother's wife Herodias as his wife, been cast into prison, he's going to lose his life. You know how it is sometimes when you get depressed? You start to question everything. This is John. He's questioned these things. And he has sent his disciples to Jesus to ask him, are you that one? Beginning in verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. You understand the observation here? The things you hear, the things you see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Notice, observe these things. Pay attention to what you hear, what you see. I'm not just going to tell you about it. You can see this for yourself. That there are people who couldn't hear that they can hear now. There are people who couldn't see, they can see now. There were people who could not get around, they were lame, they can get around now. You can see those things for yourself. You need to go back and tell him these things. The gospel is being preached. Blessed is he, verse 6, who is not offended because of me. You know, he's talking about John. Those disciples are going to go back and they're going to tell John. And as they go back to tell John, notice what Jesus talks about. Verse 11, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The gospel's for all. Heaven's for all. That's what God prepared for those who would follow after him. And he desires everyone to follow. He desires everyone to come to him. You see, that's what God wants. And as Jesus talks about John the Baptist, there's not one greater than he, but even the least. He's not even as good as everyone else. And what he means by that is this. For those who would listen, those who observe, those who obey, those who would do what God would have them to do, they're going to be the same place. They're going to get to go the same place. You think about that blessed life. Look with me at Psalm 32. Psalm 32. And how blessed we truly are. What a blessing it is to be a child of God. Notice here, this is a psalm of David. Beginning in verse 1 of Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. That's what it looks like to be blessed, because that's the person who has taken the word of God in, and they've put it into practice. They have obeyed it. You see, their iniquity gone. Blessed. That's where true heavenly happiness comes from. This is the closest on this side that we can be, because we are cleansed on this side. So we can spend eternity with him. God doesn't hold our iniquity against us. He doesn't have a tally sheet to say, hey, Corey, this is how many things that you've done wrong. No, washed in that blood, those things are gone. Even when I commit them today, I repent of those things, they're gone. God doesn't keep that tally sheet. He doesn't bring those things back up. Notice, the Lord does not impute. He does not hold this against them. He does not charge them with this account any longer. It's gone. How incredible it is to serve the God that we do. How incredible it is to have a God who loves us the way that He does. And if we see that type of love from Him, then we see our side, our commitment. Go back to Revelation 1 and notice with me, please, verse number 3. That's what we are going to focus on this morning. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. Keep those things which are in it. There's our responsibility. First and foremost, it is to hear those words. If you will, look with me at Luke chapter 8. You think about here in Luke's account, you have the parable of the sower. The one who went out and spread the seed, the word of God. He is the one who went out and cast it. And it's going to fall all over the place. And it's going to fall with those. Some are not going to listen. Some are going to listen for a moment. Some are going to try to take it in, and they're going to allow things to overcome them. But here in Luke 8, beginning in verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes, takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble, good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. These are the ones who listen to it, they take it in, they meditate on it, and they obey it. They keep it. They produce fruit, meaning that then the things they have heard are put into action. So their life lives out those things that they have studied, those things that they have heard and listened to. That's the expectation, again, that God has always had. If you look with me at Proverbs chapter 8, we see this again. We think about the wisest man who, far as a man went, still sinned. But you think about Solomon and these Proverbs that he has written. Proverbs 8, beginning in verse 32. Here he writes, "Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor with the Lord." Listen to me carefully, he says. Take my word in, obey it, pay attention to it. Be those that don't allow this to fall on, don't be those that allow this to fall on deaf ears. Instead, hear the instruction and be wise. Don't disdain this. Don't neglect this. Don't count this as something that isn't worthy of you, that is below you or beneath you. Don't trample on this. Take in my instruction. Hear it. Listen to it. Put it into practice. Be those that are wise, that gain knowledge. Put that knowledge into practice. That's what wisdom is. If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, again, we think about Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 1, he writes, "Walk prudently when you go to the house of God. Draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Walk prudently. This is to walk wisely, meaning your manner of life is to walk wisely. Notice what you do. When you go to the house of God, draw near to hear. That is to actively listen, to open your ears, to understand and take it in. I appreciate Riston's prayer, but we listen to those prayers, and rightly so. These men that lead them, let us have open hearts. Let us have open minds. Let us have open Bibles so that we can take those things in, so that we can hear them, listening to them, actively listening, meaning with the purpose to put them into practice. That's what Solomon is saying here. Walk prudently, walk wisely, come with intention, be intentional about why you're here. When you go up to the house of God, go there to listen, go there to learn, to have understanding, to then put that into practice. When we praise God, when we worship Him, do we go through just the motions of it, or do we pay attention to the words that we sing? Do we pay attention to the words that are being prayed? When we surround this table, do we understand why we're doing this? We need to walk wisely. We need to come intentionally, listening, to put into practice. When we put those things into practice, then we follow. If you go back to Revelation 1 and verse number 3, notice this part that comes. It's not just the one that reads it, the one that hears it, but then it's also the one who keeps it. So the one who keeps it, those who keep it, they're the ones who put it into practice. John 14 and verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's keeping it. In John 15 and verse 14, Jesus says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I've commanded you to do. There's his expectation. Demonstrate it. We say we'll be friends of Jesus, but if we don't do what he says, I'm not a friend. He expects me to keep it. In Mark 13 and verse 31, Jesus tells those there on that day, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means pass away. His word is everlasting. So when we are those who read and hear and keep it, then we understand that's what leads us to eternal life. We are those that are going to listen to what he says, because this world, the physical things, are all going to go away one day. I don't know when that day is, but they're all going to go away. His word's not. It's going to last forever. It's going to endure forever, for all eternity. If you go with me to Matthew chapter 7, I want you to notice what Jesus here, as he closes out the Sermon on the Mount, has to say. This is what our life needs to look like. And he's going to give two types of people. In verse 13, he talks about the fact that there are two roads, right? Two gates. There's a narrow gate that leads to life, and it's difficult. There's an easy way, a wide gate, the easy way, and many there are that find that way. But he goes down to verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Notice, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, verse 24, and again, this is a section beginning in verse 24, we teach to our kids, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. and great was its fall. You know, the thing is, we all know the song, right? The wise man built his house upon the rock. Foolish man built his house on the sand. We teach that to our kids. And I don't try to make light of this, but kids get upset over the craziest of things sometimes, right? I remember one time that I didn't allow, I believe it was Gavin, I didn't allow him to get up into his seat by himself. You know what he did? He cried. He lost it over the just not being able to get into a seat on his own. I picked him up, put him in his seat. You'd have thought that his whole world ended right there, that moment. You know that my kids have lost toys before? Shattered. Do you know that we keep an eye on animals, like stuffed animals? Blankets, because we lose those things, their world's going to end. Do you know that's not what Jesus is talking about? It's not even close. You know who he's talking to? He's talking to adults. He's talking to you and me, grown-ups. He's telling us here, talking to us, saying, when your world is coming and crashing down around you, and it's not because you didn't get to get in your seat on your own, it isn't because you lost your stuffed animal or your precious blanket or your toy, kids, it's not talking about that. He's talking about in your manner of life, when your world is crashing down around you, who you focused on? Who's your foundation? You've listened to my word. You've listened to what I've told you. And those who put it into practice, they are wise. Because everything else, your circumstances can be dire. The things around you can be not going well. But you're focused on me, because I'm your rock. I think at times we need to go back and teach one another this song. And we need to remember in these difficult times. I'll tell you, I'm very thankful for the elders. I called them and I said, we're going to head for Texas. Go. You go. Because I didn't know what was going to go on with him. I'll be very honest. There was a part of me that really thought I was going to get to Texas and I was going to say goodbye to my brother. Because he was not well in any way, shape, or form. In fact, one of his doctors, when she came in to talk to him, she said, when I saw you a couple of weeks ago when we were there, when I saw you, you were sick. And she said, I'm going to tell you now, if you'd have waited one more day to come, we'd have found you unresponsive. He's that close. He's a day out of death. I knew that his wife's world was crashing down around her. His boys, their world was crashing down around them because they didn't know what was going on with him. And it took the doctors a little while to finally figure it out. I was very thankful Monday morning when we started home that I could breathe a sigh of relief because I knew he was going to be okay. But I can tell you now, I know that if, and it's easier on this side of things, but I can tell you now that thought in the back of my mind that if I went to say goodbye to my brother was going to be okay. He's a child of God. He was taken care of. And it may hurt on this side. And it was going to hurt on this side. And I was probably going to be a little bit angry. But I also knew at the same time I had a comfort knowing he's going to be okay. Taken care of for all eternity. Because of where his faith is. And the life that he lives for God every day. You see, that is why this isn't some little kid's song. Now, it's great to teach them, so please don't misunderstand me. But we've got to relearn those things at times for ourselves. sometimes we have those reminders, like a 12-hour drive to Texas where you're trying to talk to one another and things aren't as bleak as maybe they could be. We've got to remember where our faith is, where we stand, what we do every day matters, because there are those around us who are watching. There are those around us, and this is where your kids come back into this picture. They are watching how you handle those difficult situations. And you know, sometimes you just got to take action and go. Thank you for letting me go. I appreciate it very much. Because if I didn't, I was going to have regrets, and I didn't want those regrets. But I also know everything is, for now, going to be okay. I know that there's going to come a day. Hebrews 9, verse 27 tells us, it is appointed for man to die once, and then comes the judgment. That day is coming for everyone. My question for you is, are you ready? Do you serve God every day in everything that you do? Are you blessed to be able to serve Him? Do you show that happiness in being able to be a child of God, knowing who your faith is in and that He has your back? Because He's the one who said, I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. Because He's the one who said, if you will listen to these words of mine, put them into practice and do them, I will get you there. You see, we have to first start where we started here. Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. That hearing causes us to believe in Jesus. John chapter 8 and verse 24. Unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. That death is not physical, it's eternal. Because of our lack of belief. Believing in Him causes us to desire to change. This is where 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 9 through 11 comes in with godly sorrow. Godly sorrow leading to repentance, not to be regretted. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, Paul there tells those gathered on Mars Hill, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere. So he left no one out, right? All men everywhere to repent. Change. You've got to change your way of thinking. Change your way of life. The manner of life. Causes us to live for Jesus, to confess Him. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. That confession made with the mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10, but also with our life, manner of life that we live. Be willing to submit to His will, His authority. Be buried with Him in baptism. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, the crowd there gathered on that day of Pentecost asked Peter and the other apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus by His authority for the remission of your sins. That is where they are washed away, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That forgiveness of sins that comes, we are washed clean, and now we have an expectation. When we come out of that watery grave, it is there that our walk begins. It didn't end, it begins. Jesus in Revelation 2, that last sentence of verse 10, tells us, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. See, that's His authority, His desire to give everyone that crown of life when this life is over. What will you receive? Maybe this morning you need to obey the gospel and become a child of God. Or maybe this morning, as a child of God, there are things in your life that either you need to repent of or things that you're struggling with that we can pray for you and help you. If we can help you in any way, we'd invite you to come now as together we stand and sing the song. Been selected.